This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Right now, in downtown Boston, Mayor Marty Walsh is announcing a new effort to tackle the longstanding challenge of violent crime among kids. The challenge is front and center in Boston once again, following the murder last week of 16-year-old Jonathan Dos Santos.
The teenager was reportedly trying to avoid gang involvement, but he was shot to death, allegedly by a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old who were charged with murder yesterday. The mayor's initiative will focus on reaching 11 to 14-year-olds before they're caught up in street violence.
Daniel Mulhern is Boston's chief of public safety. He's also a former Suffolk County prosecutor. And Dan Mulhern, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Anthony.
So today, Mayor Walsh is announcing a new effort to reach young kids at risk in the city, very young kids, 11 to 14-year-olds. What can you tell us about that effort?
Historically, in my past life and my present life, we realize that that age group is the most vulnerable. They're transitioning from middle school into high school. They're most vulnerable for some of the negative influences in our neighborhoods. And the converse is also true. They're most accessible for the opportunity for positive influence and positive opportunity. And we felt that traditionally that population wasn't being served in the best way that we could. They are traditionally too young for summer employment or any kind of employment, and too old for some of the opportunities that our camps present. And as a result of that, it created a bit of a vacuum for the potential for some of our young folks to go in the wrong direction. And that's why that age group, that cohort, is so crucial for us to get to. We talk a lot about enforcement and we talk a lot about intervention. In the mayor's vision, we'd like to avoid any of this from happening to begin with. And if we can get to kids at a younger age, we feel that we have a strong opportunity to prevent some of the real challenges that we see in our streets.
So Daniel Mulhern, what kind of programs are we talking about? What kind of interventions and efforts to get to them at a younger age are being proposed here?
It's a collaboration with John Hancock. And the initiative that's being launched today is just that. It's a collaboration between Hancock, between Youth Connect and the Boys and Girls Clubs, the mayor's office and the Boston Police Department. The hope is to serve 50 young people in that age group, that cohort of 11 to 14, each year over the next 4 years. I guess the best way to describe it is a holistic approach to that young person and young person's family. They will be provided potential clinical supervision and social worker assistance. They will then be paired with potential mentorship opportunities, pre-employment, skill development. And the program will not only target the summer months, which we often see a spike in some of the challenges in our neighborhoods, but it will last for those 50 young persons through the school year.
I know you mentioned that this is something the mayor has been thinking about for a long time, but this announcement comes right on the heels of this really troubling murder of 16-year-old Jonathan Dos Santos, allegedly by a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, both of whom were charged yesterday after their mother turned them in. So we're talking about really young kids involved with this stuff. I want to ask you, Daniel Mulhern, as chief of public safety in Boston, what's your take on what's happening out there on the streets now? I mean, we're talking about really young kids here.
The events of last week were extremely tragic for our entire city. And I think you heard our police commissioner talk about it and the mayor speak about it a little bit. It's a tragic, tragic incident that affects not only the three specific families involved, but everyone in that neighborhood. It's just it's a challenging time for young people in our neighborhoods. It's magnified by the traffic on social media is a real challenge, I think, for our young folks our young people to navigate around.
What does that do? Does that create pressure on young kids, intensify the pressure that they may be feeling from gangs and joining gangs and that kind of thing?
I tell you, the world's a very different place than I and likely you grew up in, Anthony. And we get, our young people are exposed to so much more quickly. And the conflict that potentially can arise when you're not face-to-face with persons in our neighborhoods, it can lead to additional challenges. And I'm just hopeful that we can constantly think of creative ways to try to get ahead of that and encourage parents and guardians and interested adults to talk to our young people in our neighborhoods about being very responsible on how they use these great developments in technology and not to use them in a way that can perpetuate any conflict or any potential violence in our neighborhoods.
Mm. Back in the 1990s, as you well know, Boston wrote a pretty successful chapter on how to confront youth violence, and the city was known for the so-called Boston Miracle, which slashed the murder rate. Are there lessons from those years that could help the city today, or is it time for another kind of miracle? How do you think about that?
The lessons that we learned from then, I think, are very firmly in place today. And those are the value of partnerships. The mayor is the first person to state that without partnerships, we just can't be successful. So today, those partnerships with our faith-based community, with our law enforcement community, with our social service community, the mayor has stressed in City Hall that the environment be one of collaboration. So I think in many respects, we do things as effectively, and if not even more effectively today, but it's a complicated problem that we're attempting to resolve.
Mm. That's Daniel Mulhern. He's Boston's Chief of Public Safety. Daniel, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Anthony, thank you.
Well, what do those who work with young people think about the mayor's plan? Let's turn to Emmett Folgert. He's executive director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. The group has worked with at-risk young people since 1981, and Emmett Folgert joins us now in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So first of all, what's your reaction to what we just heard from Dan Mulhern about the mayor's new effort on youth violence?
I think this is a program's a great idea. It shows some corporate responsibility on the part of John Hancock. I'd like to see more of that. We need those kind of partnerships. Funding is extremely difficult. 11 to 14-year-olds, that was very well said. They're too young for most employment, and they're too old for little after-school programs and summer day camps. They also are prime targets for gangs to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't any such thing as an unorganized kid. Little teenager, it's the only question is, are we going to organize them or are people with other intents going to organize them?
What?
They will join teams, acting groups, just boys groups, girls groups, artistic groups, if they have those opportunities.
Yeah. And then if they don't have those opportunities, if a gang approaches them?
They don't have as good judgment, and that's not their fault. You know, Harvard Brain Science is in. The last thing to develop is judgment in our brains, and they just don't have it, and every parent knows that.
Well, Emmett, let me ask you. I mean, we heard Dan Mulhern talk a little bit about the aspects of the mayor's plan. It includes, 50 young people and their families, which I know was quite important. They'd work with each year for 4 years, provide mentorship, pre-employment training, things like that, both in summer and during the school year. Do you think those things in combination are enough to provide that sense of belonging and organization that you were talking about to supplant the pull that interest from a gang might have instead?
I do. This is a well-thought-out plan, and I like that it's 4 years. I like that it's all year round. This is a serious program.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about what Dan Mulhern said about, the age that we find ourselves in now, in 2015, versus Boston of the 1990s? I mean, the Dorchester Youth Collaborative has been around since 1981, and Mulhern was talking about how, social media is a big deal here, and that it actually has a reach that other forces didn't have in the 80s and 90s.
There are so many stories, even just around these recent tragedies, about material that was on Facebook and YouTube, just horrific stuff. There are images of the young man dead, close-up images, right at the time of his death that were circulated everywhere. Different groups claiming credit, whether it's even true or not, for murders. All these kids, all of them see this. All these teenagers see this. They're so much more wired than we are.
Did you talk to any, young people who had seen those images?
Oh, yeah. Gruesome.
What did they tell you?
There's the shock and awe. You won't believe what I just saw, these type of things. That can be traumatizing in and of itself.
I guess, so this makes me wonder, I mean, For the kids who come into the Dorchester Youth Collaborative, when this shooting happened, how were they processing it? How were they talking about it?
Well, the first thing you do is you try to figure out, if you can figure out what groups might have been involved, and we're looking to see what connections do we have with any of these youth, and does this threaten our safety? And we work really hard at that, and we have excellent community intelligence because basically we all live in a community. So that's the first thing. And fortunately, in this situation, we did have a relationship with JoJo, Jonathan. Very light one. He was in our basketball league at Ronan Park.
Jonathan
Dos Santos,
the victim.
But that was about all the relationship we had with him, and we didn't have a relationship with, you know, the alleged shooters. So that gave us a little bit of relief because it's safety first, and then we talked about it with the kids. It was so helpful that arrests were made. It was so helpful that arrests were made quickly, and that just calms the water. You can physically feel the difference in the neighborhood when arrests are made because the system's working. Mm-hmm. You know, our justice system is working, and people are relieved at that. But the stress these kids are. Oh, and then there was the mothers turning the sons in was a huge part of discussion. Everybody said good. Good. Young people, 14, 15-year-olds, good. You know, mothers don't need to have their children out there killing other people.
Yeah.
One said maybe a mother was worried she could be next. Hmm. You know, that this, and then, you know, we were all saying, you know, the kids have a right to a fair trial. Don't convict these kids yet. But this is what the system's for. Separate everybody and get a process going, you know.
Well, let me ask you, you've been working with young people at DYC for a long, long time. I mean, were you surprised that the alleged shooters were 14 and 16? Because people keep coming back to that it's a younger age group than usual.
It's young. Well, you got to think they're... I don't know if there was gang involvement, but I'm going to say I believe there was. You know, I don't know, but I believe there was because they were so young. I don't think they would get guns themselves. I believe those would be passed to them from what they call the older men, you know, in the group. Where it occurred, Fuller and Washington, that's a hot spot. That's what I think. And on the gang situation, can I say this? Being in a gang is a very public status. It's not secretive at all. It's usually on a young person's Facebook page and Twitter. You're standing at a hotspot corner and everybody's driving by and looking at you. You are making a stand. You are representing a gang. And when that happens, it's not time for a nice conversation with a young person. It's time for family and friends and those who love that child to do an intervention up to and including serious relocation. Hmm. That's not just a warning sign when someone joins a gang. That's way down the road. The warning signs were before when they were thinking of joining a gang or when they were changing their taste in music and some of the things they're watching. Those are the early warning
signs.
So not being in a gang, that's way down the road.
So is that when those conversations should happen?
Yes. Way, way before.
Do you see evidence of that kind of those conversations as part of what the mayor's plan is?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I guess my final question, sort of, I'm thinking about Jonathan again because, you know, it's been reported that he first of all, we know he was 16, but it's been reported that he told his basketball coach a couple months ago that he was being pressured to join a gang, but didn't want to. What would you say now if a kid came into the Dorchester Youth Collaborative and said he or she were feeling that same pressure but was trying to resist it and now has seen what happened to Jonathan Dos Santos?
I would like to bring whatever strengths there were in this young person's life together. You know, it could be that basketball coach, it could be parents or relatives, and take this extremely seriously. I want that kid to know people are listening to you. People are here to help you.
Well, Emmett Folgert is Executive Director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. Thank you so much for joining us today, Emmett. And we should say that a peace rally is scheduled tonight in Dorchester in memory of several kids in the neighborhood, including Jonathan Dos Santos. There's more information about that at radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Coming up, a recent piece in the Boston Globe asks, is the Common Core killing kindergarten? We'll debate how new national standards are affecting teaching and learning in kindergarten. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.